Tonight we are studying chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, and we'll be studying the first three verses. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. If anybody wants to follow along, there are copies of the Bhagavad Gita up in the corner there. Chapter 7 is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. The Absolute is defined in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the following shloka. Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. Those who are knowers of the Absolute Truth, who have realized the Absolute Truth, they know it as a non-dual substance and is understood in three features: all-pervasive Brahman, all-pervasive and localized Paramatma, and the ultimate feature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Bhagavan. And it is that Bhagavan, the ultimate Bhagavan, because there are many Bhagavans, but the ultimate and original Bhagavan, he is the speaker of this Bhagavad Gita, and he is known as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Truth, the Supreme Cause, and sustaining force of everything, both material and spiritual. Advanced souls surrender unto him in devotion, whereas impious souls divert their minds to other objects of worship. No book for you? Okay, you're just going to... That's okay. All right, let's look at verse number 1 now. This 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita marks a significant section because there are 18 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, and these 18 chapters are divided into 6 chapters in 3 divisions. The middle 6 chapters are the most confidential part of this Bhagavad Gita. And these middle 6 chapters are protected by the first 6 and the last 6. So this chapter is the beginning of this most confidential part. Now, before we look at verse number 1 of this chapter, let's look at the previous verse, the end of chapter 6. So if everybody could turn to the end of chapter 6, the final verse, because this verse leads into chapter 7. So the Sanskrit, if you want to chant along with me, hold on. Here it is. Let's do it together. Yoginam api sarvesham mad gatin antar atmana sraddhavan bhajate yomam Same yukta tamo mataha. Now, J.D., nice and loud, read the translation to that verse, as loud as you can.
And of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion.
All right, so, of all yogis. So that means there's more than one kind of yogi. All right? So Krishna here in this verse, which yogi? The one with great faith, who always abides in him, thinks of him, and renders loving service. That yogi is most intimately united with Krishna and is the highest of all. And that is Krishna's opinion. Now, we just got finished saying that this speaker of Bhagavad Gita is the original source of all other personalities of Godhead. So he is the ultimate authority. He is giving his opinion. Therefore, there is no higher opinion. So now, let us begin now with checks number 1 of chapter 7, because that final verse of chapter 6 segues into here. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bolo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All right, please repeat. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Maya Sakta Mana Parata. Yogam Yanjan Madasraya. Asangshayam Samagrang Mam. Yata Gyasyasi Tach Srinu. So this particular verse, our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada lectured on this verse many times and quoted it many times in his writings and speaking. So this is a major verse, one of the most important verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Now we will look at the word-for-word synonyms. Please repeat. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Lord said. So there may be many lords, but we are talking about the Supreme Lord. Mayi, to me. Therefore, because it's referring to God, the M is capitalized. Asakta mana, mind attached. So, everyone, without exception, their mind is attached to something. Some people are attached to the opposite sex. Some people are attached to their business or money or fame or whatever they're doing. Everybody is attached to something. Next word, Parata, O son of Pritha. So Krishna is addressing Arjuna, addressing him in terms of his illustrious mother. His mother is Kunti. She is a great, great devotee of Krishna. She is Krishna's aunt, but she is highly realized in the science of God. So much so, there is an entire chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam in which we study her philosophical prayers. So this Kunti, or here, Pritha, is very, very advanced in spiritual consciousness. And Arjuna is many times addressed in relationship to her. Next word, Yogam, self-realization. So, in the beginning of this Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 2, the self was distinguished between non-self. Who can tell me what is the non-self? Yes. The gross material body. What about the subtle mind? Okay, good. So the non-self is the body and the mind. What is the self, JD?
Spirit soul.
And in chapter 2, we learned some of the symptoms of the soul. What are some of the symptoms of the soul? Consciousness. Good. What else?
Eternal.
Very good. Although that was not mentioned in chapter 2, but that's true. So eternal, primeval. Is there ever a birth for the soul? That's right. The soul was never born. The soul always existed. Now, to distinguish the soul from God, the best example I like to use is the example of the sunshine and the sun. Can the sunshine exist independently of the sun? No. Can the sun exist independently of the sunshine? Yes. Now, the sunshine and the sun do exist simultaneously, because as soon as the sun is there, it gives off sunshine, rays of sun. So the soul can be compared to the rays of sun, and the sun itself can be compared to God. So the sun ray is, its existence is relative to the sun itself. It cannot exist independently, whereas the sun can. So the soul, although it now, the sun ray, does it have all the qualities of the sun? No. Wait, why do you say no? What's different in quality? I said quality. So, the quality of the sun ray, is it any different from the sun itself? Right, there's no difference. The sun ray is simply a particle of the sun. So it has all the qualities of the sun. Very good. So the soul has all the qualities of God. But as JD jumped the gun, the difference is in quantity. Because if the sun ray enters your apartment in the early morning, you like it, right? You may open the blind, get that nice sun. Very nice. But if the sun itself came... Because the sun ray is not as powerful as the sun itself. So the soul, individual soul, is not as powerful as God, but has all the qualities of God to a minute degree. So the word that we're studying, self-realization, actually means this. There's no real understanding of the self unless you understand God. So self-realization means actually realizing God and yourself in relationship. Any kind of self-realization independent of realizing God is only going to be partial, because your real self-identity is in relationship to that person who is generating you. The sun ray is being generated by the sun. The soul is being generated by God. So self-realization means understanding yourself in relationship to God. Otherwise, your self-realization is partial. Full self-realization. And that's why when Lord Chaitanya was asked by Sanatana Goswami, when Sanatana Goswami asked the Lord, "Who am I?" Lord Chaitanya gave the complete definition. Jivera Swarupa Hai Krishnera Nitya Das. This statement by Lord Chaitanya is the most complete definition of the identity of the soul. Let's look at this Bengali verse. Jivera. Everyone say? Jivera means you, the minute, infinitesimal, little tiny spirit soul. Now the next word, Swarup. Everyone say? Swa means Swarupa, your own form. Rupa means form. So Jivera, the individual soul, Swarupa, the Jiva, the living entity, its own form, Jivera Swarupa Hai, Krishnera Nityadas. So Krishnera, Krishna or God, Nitya Das. Nitya means eternal. Das means servant. Lord Chaitanya is saying that the soul, its own form, is that of eternal servant of God. Eternal means it always was that way, is now, and will never change. Here I am, drinking water. The swarup of this water is to quench my thirst. The swarup of salt, it's not sweet. Do you ever get sweet salt? Salt is salt. It has its swarup. Or anyone who has ever had chilies, right? Those red, hot, or green chilies. They're not sweet, are they? One time, when I was visiting India, I was eating at someone's house, and I was with a sannyasi, and they put on his plate one of those green chilies. And the sannyasi, he ate it, no problem. So I wanted to be cool. I said, well, I want to be like the sannyasi. So I told the host, give me one of those chilies. As soon as I ate it, I started to bleed in my mouth. It was so hot. It was a big lesson. Don't try to imitate what you cannot do. So everything has a swarup, its nature, its original identity. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, our original identity, which can never be changed, because that's what we are, eternal servant of Krishna. Now, someone may not accept that. Someone may reject that. Someone may deny that. Okay. But the fact of the matter is, that's what we are. Sorry. A lot of people may not like this. But that's what Lord Chaitanya says we are. Nothing more, nothing less than the eternal servant of God. Let us go on to back to our verse. Next word, yunjan. Practicing. So, spiritual life means practice. Athletes know this. In order for an athlete to become superstar, he may have lots of talent, but he must practice. I don't care who that athlete is. Unless they or say you're a musician. If you're a you may be a very talented musician, but you must practice. So, when we come to spiritual life, we must practice. That practice is called sadhana. Things that you do, just like in an athlete, they do what is called reps, repetitions. My favorite example is that Kobe Bryant. So, Mr. Kobe Bryant spends hours every day doing the same thing for hours. I'm not making this up. He spends hours every day bouncing the ball, throwing it at the hoop. For that, he is paid millions of dollars. Here I am talking about the absolute truth. I don't get anything. Welcome to Kali Yuga. The point I'm trying to make is, he spends hours every day doing repetitions of the same thing. Those in spiritual life also do repetitions. Just like my father. Whenever I go to see him, his complaint. Why you and your wife are saying that same thing over and over again? Because I'm a spiritual athlete. I'm doing my reps. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Next word, Mat Asrayaha. In consciousness of me. Krishna consciousness. So, this word Krishna consciousness is used by Srila Prabhupada almost every page of his books. So now you know a concise definition of Krishna consciousness. Consciousness of Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness. Yes. What's that? 7-1. We're in the synonyms of 7-1. Next word, asangshayam, without doubt. So again, Krishna is the speaker of this verse, and I just got finished saying that he is the topmost authority. So if he says something is without doubt, you can bank on it. No problem. Next word, samagram, completely. Mam, me, yata, how, gyasyasi, you can know. So, Krishna is saying here, you can know him completely without a doubt. Think about that. God is saying that it is possible for you to know him without a doubt. Completely. Pretty far out. Next word. Gyasasi. You can know. Tat. That. Shrinu. Try to hear. So, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. And he's telling Arjuna, just try to hear what I'm about to tell you in this chapter. Try. This is a point. The morning, Dravida Das was giving the Bhagavatam class, and one of his points was that in spiritual life, you can get the full benefit just for trying. In the material world, that's not true. In the material world, you may try, but you don't necessarily get the result. In the material world, you have to successfully execute the action, then you get the result. But in spiritual life, no. Success or failure, completion or incompletion, doesn't matter. You get the credit just for the honest attempt. So Krishna is here saying, try to hear. You may hear or not hear, but at least try. Srila Prabhupada mentions himself in connection to his spiritual master. His spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, would talk in very, very lofty and very, very esoteric and extremely difficult wordings. As Prabhupada himself said, I would hear my Guru Maharaj, sometimes I would understand Sometimes I would not understand, but I sat and heard. I liked to hear from him. And his spiritual master marked him. They said, yes, this boy likes to hear. I have said many times when people have asked me, how should I choose my spiritual master? And one of the answers I give regularly, the spiritual master, you know who is your spiritual master because you like to hear from that person. And then sometimes I tell a joke. So if you like to listen to Rush Limbaugh Asura, he's your guru. If you like to listen to Lady Gaga Asurini, then she's your guru. Whoever you like to hear from, that's your guru. You can't fake it. You hear from that person that attracts you. Krishna is saying, you should try to hear from him. Let's look at their translation. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So before we go to the purport, let's see if we actually understand this verse. So I'm going to ask some questions. It's all based on the translation. I just want to make sure that I understand, that you understand, that I know you understand, that I understand, that you know what you're saying. Okay? Okay. First question. What should be the position of the mind in terms of this shloka? Look at the translation. What is the function or position of the mind? Yes? Just attached? Oh, you missed the very attached to Krishna. Yes, because I could be attached to the guitar. Yes, attached to Krishna. It's better to give the full answer. Very good. That's all right. Now, the next question of this verse is, what does Krishna want Arjuna to do? What is the action? Very good. Very good. And what is the practice that Krishna is going to explain in this chapter? What is the practice? Yes, but can you give me in terms of the translation? I mean, it's true. You're correct. But I just, in terms of the translation. Yes, but what was he practiced? You, okay. Practice what? What does it say? Yoga in full, which is bhakti yoga, but I just wanted you to say it in terms of the translation. Yoga in full consciousness of Krishna. Welcome. Oh, good. Go right on. And okay. Now, in terms of understanding God, what are the two things Krishna says in this connection in today's verse? There are two things Krishna says relating to knowing God. What does it say in the translation? Two things. Yes? Full? Free? Yes. Very good. You'll know God in full and free from any doubt. Very good. Now we understand this verse, right? Let's now go on to the purport. All in favor say Hari Bol. And we are studying chapter 7, verse number 1. Everybody hold on a second. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. All right, let's look at the purport. In this seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the nature of Krishna consciousness is fully described. Krishna is full in all opulences, and how he manifests such opulences is described herein. Also, four kinds of fortunate people who become attached to Krishna, and four kinds of unfortunate people who never take to Krishna are described in this chapter. In the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul, capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different types of yogas. At the end of the sixth chapter, it has been clearly stated that the steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, or in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest form of all yoga. So we already did that, right? We studied the last verse of chapter 6 when we started. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one is able to know the absolute truth completely, but not otherwise. Impersonal Brahma Jyoti, or localized Paramatma realization, is not perfect knowledge of the absolute truth because it is partial. Full and scientific knowledge is Krishna, and everything is revealed to the person in Krishna consciousness. Incomplete Krishna consciousness, one knows that Krishna is ultimate knowledge beyond any doubts. Different types of yoga are only stepping stones on the path of Krishna consciousness. One who takes directly to Krishna consciousness automatically knows about Brahma Jyoti and Paramatma in full. By practice of Krishna consciousness yoga, one can know everything in full, namely, the absolute truth, the living entities, the material nature, and their manifestations with paraphernalia. One should therefore begin yoga practice as directed in the last verse of the sixth chapter. So that's twice now he's made reference to that verse, which is good that we began our class with that verse. Concentration of the mind upon Krishna, the Supreme, is made possible by prescribed devotional service in nine different forms. So those nine forms, I will take the liberty to sing of them. Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Pada Sevana Dasyare Pujana Sakhi Janatman Nivedana. So the nine different forms of devotional service: hearing, chanting, remembering. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnusan, Pada Sevanam, serving the Lord's feet. Archanam, worshipping the Lord. Vandanam, offering prayers. Dasyam, becoming the Lord's servant. Sakyam, becoming the Lord's friend. Atmanivedanam, giving everything, one's very self, to the Lord. Continuing, of which Shravanam is the first and most important. The Lord therefore says to Arjuna, touch Shrinu, hear from me. No one can be a greater authority than Krishna, and therefore by hearing from him, one receives the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna conscious person. That's why I many times preach, especially when I am preaching to an Indian congregation. I stress upon them the importance of reading Bhagavad Gita every day. Every day. Because look what he just said. Therefore, by hearing from him, namely Krishna, one receives the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna conscious person. So we should be hearing this Bhagavad Gita every day. One has therefore to learn from Krishna directly or from a pure devotee of Krishna. So this Bhagavad Gita that we are reading was translated by a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. So you get both. You get the Bhagavad Gita and you get the Bhaktivedanta purport. Two for one. One has therefore to learn from Krishna directly or from a pure devotee of Krishna, and not from a non-devotee upstart puffed up with academic education. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this process of understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is described in the second chapter of the first canto as follows. If you'd like to sing the Sanskrit along with me, please do. Shrinvatang Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantasto Hi Abhadrani Vidhunoti Soritsatam Nashta Prayeshva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Tada Rajastamo Bhava Kama Loba Dayaschaye Cheta Aitire Anavidham Stittang Satve Prasidati Evang Prasanna Manaso Bhagavad Bhakti Yogata Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate Vidyate Ridaya Grantish Chidyante Saravasanshaya Shiyante Chasya Karmani Drishta Evat Manishware. To hear about Krishna from Vedic literatures or to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita is itself righteous activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna, who is dwelling in everyone's heart, acts as a best wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. In this way, a devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. That word dormant means it's there. It's just sleeping, waiting to be awoken, dormant. It's there. Now it just needs to be awakened. As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from the devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. By development of devotional service, one becomes freed from the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus material lusts and avarice are diminished. When these impurities are wiped away, the candidate remains steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlivened by devotional service, and understands the science of God perfectly. Thus, bhakti yoga severs the hard knot of material affection and enables one to come at once to the stage of asanshayam samagram, understanding of the supreme absolute truth, personality of Godhead. Now, this phrase, hard knot of material affection, is very, very significant. All of us have this hard knot of material affection. And that hard knot has been there for millions and millions of lifetimes. And the more we engage in materialistic and especially sinful activities, that knot gets harder and tighter. That hard knot of material affection is preventing us from understanding, seeing, and returning back to Godhead. Therefore, the hard knot has to be severed. It has to be cut with a very big, sharp knife. And that big, sharp knife are the words of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes people ask the question, why are there such heavy, negative, inflammatory statements against materialistic life in the Bhagavatam? That's why. Because that knife has to be very powerful and sharp. It is very important to understand this hard knot of material affection. And what is the real thing? Sex. It is the sex attraction which keeps that hard knot. Therefore, this must be broken. And therefore, the words of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are meant to cut that material affection so that you can become free and actually experience true love on the spiritual plane. And that is another reason why we are constantly and loudly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We're trying to cut that knot of material attraction. Let us continue with the purport. Therefore, only by hearing from Krishna or from his devotee in Krishna consciousness can one understand the science of Krishna. J.D.